Our sermon this morning is about the ugly bride. This morning is about, and please do not be offended, but I must tell you a true story. The bride at this wedding was ugly, exceedingly ugly, disgustingly ugly. No matter where you looked, ugliness described this bride. Now, we all know brides are supposed to be beautiful, for this is the best time of her life at marriage, when she naturally is supposed to appear the most beautiful. Yes, a bride is supposed to make her appearance before the bridegroom not only beautiful, but irresistibly desirable in her beauty. Now, this is especially true when the bride is to marry a king, a king's wedding. Well, let us step back for a moment and try to imagine such a royal wedding. The church is beautiful. The officiator stands ready. The wedding bells ring. The audience is huge. The expectation is great. The swelling wedding music swells. Yes, there stands the handsome king in front of the church, waiting expectantly, anxious to see his bride. Now the door swings open and here comes the bride. But the audience gasps in shock. What a disappointment. The bride is not only ugly, but obviously a woman of ill repute. She is dressed in rags. Her skin is covered with putrefying sores. It's blotched with dirt. She is cut and bruised. Her hair is unkempt. She smells awful. She has a bad disease which is consuming her flesh. She staggers as she walks. Her former sinful life is very, very evident. And no one needs to wonder why that could be. For behind her standing, even worse parents can be seen standing behind her. No, nothing about this bride was desirable. Nothing, absolutely nothing. It was an ugly bride. Now everyone's shocked eyes quickly turn toward the bridegroom. This bride can't be a good choice for the king. He would never, never have chosen her had he known all this about her. Yes, surely the bridegroom will recoil in shock and quickly back out of this hastily arranged marriage. Surely the bridegroom will say, "Okay, I'm done. I'm done with this. This marriage just simply is not going to work out. I don't want this kind of a bride. I'm a king, and my kingdom will never stand for this ugly bride within it." Let's just let her quickly go back to her filthiness, and let's try to forget that this even happened. Yes, the officiator of the wedding would have to say, "This is outrageous. This wedding cannot go forward by order of the law." Yes, the king will obviously instead say, "I will find another bride, a beautiful bride, a bride who is worthy of me." And yes, many in the church were thinking, what could the king have been thinking in the first place to have ever wanted to marry this ugly bride? What kind of thinking is that from the king? But listen, it gets even worse, far worse. For now a dark, despicable person in the front row of the church starts to loudly shout out in graphic detail terrible things about all the crimes and the awful things and ways that this bride has openly sinned with him when she was previously married to him. Yes, the bride was previously married to this awful shouting character, and for a long time. Now all the audience heard everything bad about this bride from her former husband's own mouth, that they together, they had committed the worst things, the worst crimes possible, the most heinous things, filthy things, unspeakable things together. Yes, the ugly bride doesn't bother to deny any of these awful accusations, for she knows they were all true. And all she can do is just hang her head in shame. Oh, surely those in the church are thinking, now for sure the bridegroom will have enough reasons to run away, not just walk away from this marriage ceremony. Yes, run fast. The bridegroom surely has now seen enough to demand this ceremony stop immediately and quickly exit this marriage ceremony before it goes one step further. Surely he won't sign the official wedding, the papers to formalize this marriage with this ugly bride. Oh, who could blame him? For anyone could just take one look and see that the bride had obviously brazenly broken all of the Ten Commandments in every way imaginable. Yes, everyone had heard her former marriage partner describing the worst crimes, the worst behavior, the most awful sins that they did together. This is a black and white case. This bride must go. All the evidence testifies against her. And as you can imagine, all in the audience sit in shock and gasp in horror. They look upon her with utter scorn. Who would want to marry this bride? Who indeed? But just look, the bridegroom stands unperturbed. The officiator of the wedding stands unperturbed. They're standing in their place. Neither one of them seems to be bothered. Rather, he seems to already know all this bad stuff about his bride, which the dark one is loudly shouting out in the church. Yes, with one hard look and one strong word, he says to her former husband, "Sit down and do not say another word." Yes, the officiator also sharply rebukes him and sternly tells him to sit down and not to say another word. Now the officiator of the wedding smiles kindly upon her and motions her to come forward, that the wedding will proceed. Perhaps you are shocked at what words I've been saying to you. Perhaps you say, okay, I heard everything. I heard enough. Surely, chaplain, you've gone too far, far too far this time by so degrading this bride. This is far too far. This is unconscionable beyond description. This is supposed to be a church. This is supposed to be a sermon. But what are you saying about this ugly bride can't be related to the Bible? Oh, but then I must tell you with sorrow that this wedding scene is taken directly from the Bible. Do you hear it? taken directly from the Bible. And yes, the Bible uses far stronger, far worse words than I have used to describe this ugly bride. Yes, now the bridegroom walks to her, takes her arm tenderly, he kisses her, he embraces her, then he gently washes her from out of his vessel, and as he washes her, suddenly she is utterly changed, literally transformed. All the ugliness is gone, gone. What an incredible transformation takes place, for suddenly she appears as beautiful as the most beautiful bride in the whole world. Now he sets a golden crown upon her beautiful head, and all the great audience loudly cheers at this unexpected turn of events at this wedding. Yes, obviously this wedding didn't turn out or end like anyone would have expected. It was radically different. Now you obviously ask, just how could all this be? This goes against all reason and against all common sense. I've never heard this before. But then I must tell you something far more horrible. In all this narrative, you are actually looking into a mirror. Yes, horror of horrors, that ugly, ugly bride looking back at you and me in that mirror is not a fictional person. Not at all. It is you, it is us, yes, me and you, sinners stained with sin from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Oh yes, what could be more shocking? But it is true. It is true. This story is not about a woman bride. It's not degrading any woman, but it is describing and degrading the bride of Jesus Christ. The bride of Jesus Christ, which is his church, the global church, not a specific woman, but it describes the great marriage of Jesus Christ to his church, which consists of all the saints, male and female. Yes, this is not against women. It is against the ugly bride of Jesus Christ. Yes, ask any of the saints, were you ugly with sin before you were washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, before you were married to him? Not one of the saints, not one of them would say anything different. I was lost, hopelessly sinful, polluted with sin from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, through in and throughout. Yes, I was altogether filthy. Yet Jesus Christ arrested me on my pathway to destruction and washed me clean in his blood. He loved me before I loved him. Oh yes, every saint is this ugly bride before their marriage to the Savior. Yes, this image in the mirror that I've been painting for you is actually a real picture of me and you, who have been changed by grace and made Christians by grace alone. all of them, all of the saints would say, "No, chaplain, now I understand. You did not use too strong of a words. Sin had made me exceedingly ugly." And this bride was the ugliest possible. Why Jesus Christ would have chosen me is impossible to understand. But it is true for all who have repented and have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been washed clean in his blood. Yes, this bride is the church of God. Yes, all Christians regenerated by the Holy Spirit during all the 6,000 years since creation make up and are in this bride. It is amazing grace that saved a wretch like me and you. Oh, every regenerated saint will easily admit this reality, for they must readily testify of their utter sinfulness. And yes, how could they claim anything different? They're looking in the mirror of the law. The Ten Commandments testify against them, every word. Yes, amazing grace, the bridegroom Jesus Christ agreed to marry an exceedingly ugly bride, totally polluted with sins. There are tens of millions of reasons why Jesus Christ would not want this bride, these saints, as his wife. Why he would not want to marry this ugly of a bride polluted with sin. Yes, tens of millions of reasons why not to marry her. For sin had made his bride, the church, exceedingly ugly. But there is only one reason, and only one reason only, why he agrees to marry this ugly bride anyway. He knows all about her. He knows all of her sins. He knows her entire condition. But his entire mission to come to earth consisted of finding these ugly brides and to wash away their sinful ugliness and then to marry them. Yes, he came to find his scattered bride scattered over the world and to separate her from the world and to divorce her from the world, from herself, from her fallen nature, and from the power and the control of the exceedingly ugly one, her former husband, Satan. Yes, the bride served and was married to Satan before she was married to Jesus Christ. She did all these sins with Satan, her husband, but now she is divorced. Yes, he, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, has loved this bride from eternity. Yes, he knew all the saints' filthiness. He knew all their sins. His eyes seen it daily. Nothing was secret from him. He knew all about their previous marriage to Satan and her willing sins with the evil one. Yes, despite that, despite her ugliness, he agreed to marry her out of love. All of these brides, many names, both male and female, are written in the book of life, long, long before they were ever born, long before the earth began. Yes, the bridegroom specifically came to earth to suffer and to die for her, to wash this ugly bride in his blood, to restore her, to marry her, to make her exceedingly beautiful again, to conform the bride to his image, to bring her into heaven as his worthy bride. Yes, to be as holy as he is, to marry her. Oh, we sink away in wonder and amazement. Oh, miracle of miracles, grace, abounding grace, unfathomable love, superabounding mystery of salvation. The beautiful bride is married now to the beautiful bridegroom, but she was exceedingly ugly. Now let's stop for a moment and identify the characters in the narrative about this Bible wedding scene. The bridegroom obviously is Jesus Christ. As we said, the bride is Christ's whole church, global church, which consists of all the men and the women saints whom he has redeemed by his blood from all the four corners of the earth. The wedding place is in heaven. The officiator is the triune God. The time is at the end of the earth when the bridegroom shall suddenly appear on the clouds of heaven for the official wedding will take place then, when this exceedingly ugly and sinful bride, consisting of all the saints ever redeemed, is made beautiful again, miraculously transformed by her washing in Jesus' blood and being married to Jesus Christ. Yes, let's look at how the Bible describes how this ugly bride is made beautiful again. It's in the Bible. Come, let us bow in the dust before his holy face and beg him to send his grace and spirit to bring you and me under his spirit, that we might be in the spirit and that our spiritual eyes may be open and our hearts may be made teachable. And our hearts may be made receptive to him, the bridegroom. Yes, praying that the bridegroom on his great white horse, conquering and to conquer, may slay us with his two-edged sword proceeding from his mouth. Oh, that we may hear, oh, that cry might be given by the Holy Spirit and heard this morning. Take me out of the battle, for I am sorely wounded. Oh, now I see that I am black with sin. I am exceedingly ugly in his sight by nature and was ready to perish in hell. Oh, may you cry out, oh, what must I do to be saved, this ugly, ugly bride? Now, our first text from the Bible is from Ezekiel 16. Listen, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And thus saith the Lord unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to suttle thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. No, I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But you were cast out in the open field to the loathing of every person. In the day thou wast born, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent tournaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thy hair is grown, where thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swore unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou shalt become mine. Then I washed her with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with bordered work, and shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hand, and a chain upon thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, an earring in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus was thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and bordered work. Yes, of fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou did prosper into a kingdom. Now our second Bible text is from Zechariah 3, 1 through 10. And he shewed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Our third text is from Revelations 19, 5 through 9. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. The marriage ceremony where the beautiful Jesus Christ marries the ugliest bride. This morning we want to look at the beautiful bridegroom's great marriage in 3 points. The first point is the exceeding ugliness of the bride, his church. The second point is the exceeding beauty of the bridegroom. The third point is the miraculous wonder of the grace of reconciliation between the ugliness of the saints, the bride, with the beauty of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. Now, in the first point, the exceeding ugliness of the bride, the church, and all the saints' ugliness cannot be overstated. Perhaps you think I have been, but we can never get deeper than to only scratch the surface of how bad, how ugly of a sin inundates the bride, the sinner by nature. Yes, here human language fails to describe the problem of sin. There are simply no words to describe the height, the depth, the width of sin. No human words can begin to describe the exceedingly sinfulness of sin. No, never. We can but scratch the surface. But we can see that the Bible is filled with this reality of the ugliness from the deep fall of Adam in paradise, when Adam broke the covenant of works. And then God immediately instituted the covenant of grace. What a deep, deep, deep fall the deep fall was. And yes, we were all included in that deep fall, because we were there in Adam, who represented all of us in the covenant of works. Therefore, original sin was imputed to us, and we inherited the filthiness of sin, and we bear the consequences of our actual sins done in thoughts, words, and deeds. Oh, there we lost all of our beauty. There we lost all of our righteousness. There we became ugly. There we became dead in sins and trespasses. There we became the ugliest bride ever. Here is revealed the unfathomable depths that man by nature loves sin, loves the darkness, loves and hates the light. Now, for anyone to try to somehow deny this, or to somehow try to gloss over this reality of our personal ugliness and personal guilt because of original and actual sins in thoughts, words, and deeds, willfully done by every person on earth, is the most obvious lie and the greatest hypocrisy. Oh, hear it again. To gloss over our sin is the most obvious lie and the greatest hypocrisy. God created us to glorify Himself, but we have miserably, miserably failed in this noble goal. Yes, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can possibly know it? But even though we have rejected God in paradise and separated ourselves from Him, further, with every sin we do, God still holds every human being to His original requirement to glorify Him. And this will be done one way or another, either in heaven or in hell. Yes, the Lord has sworn by oath that every knee, do you hear it? Every knee of every person on earth shall bow before Him, that every mouth, that every heart shall confess He is Lord. No one shall escape Him or the consequences of rejecting Him. Oh, then I beg you with tears this morning, then flee to Him today with all your filthiness, with all your sins, with all your iniquity, with all your ugliness, before your certain death comes and God closes the door of hope forever and forever. Oh, come and bow before Him today in repentance, for what a difference it shall make if we bow on this side of the grave in repentance, or on the other side, God breaks our knees to force us to bow on the other side of the grave. Oh, consider the hyper exceedingly angry God. Yes, lost sinners, hopeless and helpless in themselves, missing sinners who cannot go on, have this precious promise from God's own mouth, where He says, only acknowledge your sin and repent and turn from them, and I will heal you. Is that not a precious promise for such an ugly bride as me and you? Oh, do you hear it? In the marriage to Jesus Christ, to the Savior, all of the sinner's ugliness disappears forever under the washing of Jesus' blood. Now, in our second point, the exceeding beauty of the bridegroom. Again, human language fails at this important point of describing beauty, because words, human words, cannot even scratch the surface or adequately describe the deep things of this created earth, the created things of the physical earth. More importantly, the best words cannot begin to describe spiritual things, the things of the spiritual world, the spiritual world, which are far, far, far greater, far more sophisticated, far more powerful than anything in this earthly realm. Yes, if words fail to describe her, how much more they fail to describe spiritual things. But yes, the spiritual world is real, exceedingly real. It fills this room, wherever you are. We cannot see it because God has placed it in another dimension which we cannot see with our natural eyes. But God has done it. But God is far above heaven even, for the creator of something must by necessity be greater and higher than the thing which he creates. Yes, God looks down from his lofty throne far above heaven, for even heaven is not clean in his sight, for Satan's sin originated there. Yes, God dwells above the earth, above the heaven, above time, above eternity, above everything that he created. For he is otherness, otherness, undescribable, far beyond any human conception, far beyond any boundaries or dimensions. He is undescribably glorious, unfathomably beautiful, indescribable beauty. Yes, he is high and lifted up. Yes, he must lower himself to even look upon heaven. Oh, how much more to look upon this sinful earth, this ugly bride. Amazing grace, superabounding grace. Yes, we read that God promises he will create a new heaven and a new earth 6 times in the Bible. And his beauty can be seen everywhere in this new heaven and earth. Then his righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. So obviously any words we or any humans can use automatically fail to adequately describe his beauty, the beauty of Jesus Christ. Oh, the bride of Jerusalem in the Song of Solomon can only stammer a little bit about his great beauty. And what does she say? She says, he is altogether lovely and chief among 10,000. All whom God has so blessed, who by the gift of the Holy Spirit are given a brief view of him, must struggle with their language to describe him. And even that brief view, that brief experience. Oh, listen to Ezekiel in chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the house, the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he is altogether beautiful. Now in our third point, the miraculous wonder of the grace of reconciliation between the ugliness of the saints, the ugly bride, with the beauty of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, in this heavenly marriage. As we said, for 4,000 years, the angels had longed to look into this great divine mystery of how sinful man could possibly enter into heaven. They knew the promise of God was that human sinners would indeed enter heaven, but they could not possibly figure how that impossibility could happen, for they knew with absolute certainty that sin itself could not possibly enter heaven, for only holiness can be in heaven. So the great mystery to the angels always was, how could human sinners themselves then enter heaven? On this great mystery, the angels pondered daily for 4,000 years, earnestly seeking the answer. It was too deep of a mystery for them to solve. But it also was not the will of God for angels to know this mystery until he revealed it in Bethlehem. Now, with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, the great mystery for the angels was finally solved. Oh, listen carefully to what they said and what they sang to the shepherds in the fields of Ephrata in Luke 2, verse 9. Listen, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Unto you is born a Savior. Now, hidden in this announcement from the angels is a hint of incredulousness. The good angels had probably hoped and even pleaded with God to send a Savior for their fallen brother angels, that they might be saved instead of human nature. From a purely logical point, they reasoned that this would make more sense to save the angelic nature of the fallen angels, who were already created in a higher order than what human nature was created in. What the angels are saying to the shepherds was this, unto you, meaning to your human nature, was born a Savior. A Savior for human nature, but not not to our angelic nature. For his own wise reasons, God in his sovereignty has chosen to reconcile the lower human nature with the Savior, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not send a Savior for the fallen angelic nature. Why he did it this way is hidden in God's sovereignty. We must only fall away in wonder and amazement at his sovereign will, that instead of angelic nature for human nature, a wonderful and amazing reality came to pass, and the fallen nature of the angels was to perish in hell forever. Oh, they could not complain. The angels, there was no Savior for their fallen brothers, for they ever lived to perfectly obey God's will. Yes, in heaven, if two angels receive two different commands, one to rule the greatest city in the world, and others to clean the city's dirtiest sewers in that city, neither angel would care which command they received. For to simply serve God's command, to obey God's command, is their total delight. But oh, how different with human nature. Oh, what a wonder God, out of free and sovereign grace, a one-sided work of free and sovereign grace, sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, for an ugly bride. But in repentance, then, is the key to the reconciliation of the ugly bride. The key is in her marriage to this beautiful bride, who becomes one with her, who covers her ugliness, her sinfulness, and cast away into a sea of forgetfulness. Yes, the reconciliation of our third point is the marriage of the ugly bride with the beautiful bridegroom. For the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses from all sin. The bride can be made and is made beautiful. Jesus' shed blood covers all the ugliness of the elect saints chosen from the fallen human nature. Do you know by grace something of your ugliness because of your sins? That you can find no beauty in you whatsoever? Do you know by grace something also of the beauty of Jesus Christ as he is taught by the Holy Spirit? He is the mediator between God and man. He has been sent for this very purpose. And if you are married indeed to Jesus Christ, then you are one with him. His holiness covers all of your ugliness. Oh, are you and me daily looking for the beautiful bridegroom, waiting for the marriage, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the time that we may be made perfect in him? And then we must conclude with the reality that we look around us, the ugliness of the earth, the ugliness of sin, the ugliness of what we have done against this good doing and righteous God. God is hyper exceedingly angry. There is no other way for us to say it. Just look around. The COVID pandemic has brought the world to its knees. God has done that. It is His finger that has sent this plague upon you. Now we have entered 2021, and everyone is so glad 2020 is past with all of its many catastrophes, its many plagues. But I fear I must tell you that 2021 may well be even worse than 2020, because Nineveh, the king of Nineveh, repented immediately when he was told of his ugliness, of his sin, of his impending destruction and doom. Immediately he and his people repented. Even the animals were dressed in sackcloth and ashes. But we have been almost 9 months, over 270 days in the midst of this plague. Almost 300,000 have died, and yet, we have not repented. Oh, I beg you with tears, I beg you to look in the mirror of the law. See the sinfulness that you have by nature. Repent of it. Turn from your sins. Bow at the foot of Jesus Christ as a lost sinner, begging Him to save you from yourself, begging you to be made the bride of Christ by grace, that may marry the beautiful Bridegroom. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.